I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The inspired word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We are continuing our sermon series on the redemption of Scrooge. I know some of you are in studies or are reading the books on your own and learning about how Scrooge is redeemed in the story of A Christmas Carol. We enter into the story today with a visit from the ghost or the spirit of Christmas present. The ghost shows Scrooge places in town where Scrooge himself has chosen deliberately not to go, places among the poor. The visit starts in the light of abundance. He comes to Scrooge's house, he shows him this abundant feast, and quickly whisks him away, and the light fades to darkness as they enter the dreary streets of London where the underprivileged folks live. At first glance for Scrooge, he thinks that the scene is awful. He wondered why anybody could live in such conditions. And yet he quickly realizes that even in the drab surroundings, there is a glimmer of joy and cheer. The spirit then shows him the home on this drab street, and it's a place where his employee, Bob Cratchit, lives with his family. And as they look in the window, he sees Bob Cratchit come in with Tiny Tim on his shoulder, and they sit down to the Christmas meal on Christmas Day, and Bob Cratchit proclaims at the tiny goose that is on their table, on their platter, he says, "There never was such a goose," to which Scrooge comments that it is a meager thing upon the table. I want you to watch with me a scene from A Muppet Christmas Carol. And so I'm trying to give you different versions. And we get a glimpse of the Cratchits' home on Christmas morning, and it's present time for Scrooge.
Stop turning that spit. That is the whole secret of a properly roasted goose.
It smells so good, Mother.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, that smells wonderful.
Oh, good grief.
Hey, I'm stuck. Get me out of here.
I knew you weren't suited for literature.
Oh, at least I landed on something soft. And hot.
Chestnuts until Father and Tiny Tim get home.
I wasn't eating them. I was merely checking them to see if they were not burnt.
chef's thing, dear. And do not shout, Bettina. I'm Belinda.
I'm Bettina.
Of course you are, Bettina.
Belinda!
Whatever.
Tis the season to be jolly and joyous. Fa-la-la, with a burst of pleasure we feel a ride. Fa-la-la, it's a season when the saints can employ us. Fa-la-la, to spread the news about peace and to keep love alive.
Come along, son.
Yeah.
Let's go see if Christmas dinner is ready yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Daddy!
Merry Christmas, girls. Merry Christmas, Peter.
Merry Christmas.
Children. Now it's time to set the table. Go ahead.
Wait for me.
Merry Christmas, Emily.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Crunchy.
Emmy.
I fell down the chimney and landed on a flaming hot goose.
You have all the fun. What?
Ugh. Oh, Peter, the Christmas dinner. The goose.
No. Now, son. Now you've gotten too excited. You go sit in your chair a moment. Okay, rest a moment. How was he at church?
Oh, as good as gold and better. He told me that he hoped the people saw him in church because it might be pleasant for them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
A remarkable child.
And with that, the Cratchits came to what was surely the happiest single moment in all the livelong year.
Such a meager feast.
But very much appreciated.
I paid Bob such a small amount.
Mr. Scrooge.
Bob Cratchit.
It only seems right that I should lift a glass to my employer. I give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed. If I had him here, I would give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I bet he would choke on it. Choke.
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
I suppose that on the blessed day of Christmas, one must drink to the health of Mr. Scrooge, even though he is odious, stingy, wicked, and unfeeling, and badly dressed.
The founder of the feast, Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge, you'll be very merry and happy this day, I have no doubt.
No doubt.
Cheers.
God bless us, everyone.
For Scrooge, he has just seen the joy that is there for his employee's family. Even knowing that he pays them a meager wage, that they're living in poverty, and he's the one that caused it. Scrooge is touched by the love that they have for one another and the hope that permeates them even in their poverty. The story continues to unfold, and we're not going to watch it, but it continues to unfold out in the street with the spirit and with Scrooge. And Scrooge sees that Tiny Tim is ill, and he asks the spirit if Tiny Tim will live, because he's noticed this ill health. And the spirit responds, "I see a vacant seat, a crutch without an owner. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die." Scrooge is saddened by the news, and he's reminded of his own words when he spoke to these men that came to him asking for money for the poor. Scrooge says to them, "If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population." All of a sudden, Scrooge is faced with little Tiny Tim, whom he admires greatly, and that he has considered him surplus population. What's happening in this scene is Scrooge is starting to get the message that is intended by the ghost's visits in the first place. He is finally starting to notice the joy of Christmas that exists even in poverty, that exists amid hardship. Scrooge's redemption is nearly complete, as in the next scene, he welcomes the spirit of Christmas yet to come, knowing that he still has so much more to learn, and he wants to learn it, and he actually kind of wants to change at this point. The Christmas story is much the same as this, and it's a story that has an outcome of redemption. The story that we read today is a part of the bigger story of the Christmas story. It's a story where angels visit key people, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. It's about a family living in poverty that are forced to give birth in their away from home and in a barn. And it's about shepherds, poor men nearby, who were the first to worship the newborn king. All of this is the makings of a great story, greater even than the Christmas Carol. Today's Bible story from Luke 2 is a familiar one for, I think, many of us, and yet I invite you to look at it as if you've never heard it before. Look at it anew. The shepherds we're looking at it as a Christmas past, right? It's our Christmas past when we read the Christmas story. But for the shepherds in this story, it is Christmas present. It is happening right then and there to them. This first Christmas, they get to experience Christmas as it's happening. And it all starts for them with a visit from an angel. Here again, verse 9 and 10. An angel of the Lord appeared to them and said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." We live in a time when it is not commonplace for angels to appear. Anybody have an angel appear to them? Not maybe some? It's not common. It can happen. And we hear people talk about it, but for the shepherds, it was not common either living in that time. And the angel appears to them, and you know, they're just out in their field watching their sheep and outside of Bethlehem. And the angels appear to them. The angel says, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid," depending which version we read. And the fear is quickly turned to joy in the presence of the angels that are there. They're hearing this wonderful news before anybody else hears it. And they are the ones that get to learn of the birth of the Messiah. Now, this is something that they've been waiting for. Prophets have told about this. And finally, it's happening. Finally, Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. And that is cause for great joy. Now, I imagine the shepherds scurrying quickly to Bethlehem in order to worship Jesus. And as they did so, as they came into the Lord's presence, they were quickly filled with joy. Now, these shepherds didn't bring gifts. We see here, they just have their sheep with them because they couldn't leave them out in the field. They probably brought them all into town outside the barn. And they didn't bring gifts, but they brought open hearts, ready to receive the newborn king. And they opened their hearts to the joy that Christ would bring them and the hope that radiated from this humble barn dwelling. I'm guessing that these men of poverty probably didn't even really notice that the surroundings were in a barn. They probably didn't even think much about it at all. They probably didn't think twice about the baby lying in a feeding trough. In fact, that's the world they live in. It was probably natural to them. They just experienced the joy that was the blessed event. Joy is what we experience when we're filled with sorrow. Believe it or not, we can still experience joy when we're filled with sorrow. We can still experience joy when we're living with disappointments. Some of us are separated from family at this Christmas time, and that brings us sorrow. But we can still have joy in that because the joy of Jesus Christ. It's the kind of joy that doesn't come from opening gifts that are underneath the Christmas tree. It's the kind of joy, so you're anticipating it, good job, that comes when we have Christ living in our hearts. And it's the joy that grows when we share Christ with other people. After the shepherd's visit to the Holy Family there in the barn, verse 17 says that they spread the word about the blessed Messiah's birth. They were the first evangelists, by the way, for Jesus Christ, right? They're the first ones that told about Jesus. The shepherds were sharing the joy that they felt, and they brought that joy and hope to a world living in darkness, to a world living in hurt. Letting Christ into their hearts brought transformation for these shepherds, brought about redemption for the shepherds. It's the same transformation that we learn about in the person of Ebenezer Scrooge. That's the thing about Christ. It's never too late to be redeemed. It's never too late to be redeemed. It's not too late to begin experiencing Christmas joy now and sharing it with others. For Scrooge, his selfish desires are starting to wane at this point in the story at Christmas present, and his icy heart is melting away and warming up. As you head into these last 14 days until Christmas, yep, 14, for those that are counting, it's not too late for you either. What do you need to do differently in these next 2 weeks in order to focus more intentionally on Jesus Christ? Think about this past week. Think about kind of what you did throughout the week. What did you spend your money on? How did you spend your time? Was it all about you, or was it about serving and loving others? How can your days be more like the shepherds outside of Bethlehem and focusing on Christ, not on gifts, but on being present with Christ? How can you allow Christ to redeem and transform you? How can you allow Christmas joy to come into your hearts? And most important, how can you be like the shepherds and tell about Jesus Christ? Who needs to be sitting in worship next week when the children perform? Who is longing for a relationship with Jesus Christ? I invite you to bring them in and show them what Christmas joy is all about. My friends, there is good news to be shared. Tiny Tim's famous line is what? God bless us, everyone, right? We got to hear little Kermit say it. God has indeed blessed us all. And God has done that in sending Jesus Christ to be born in a lowly stable in Bethlehem, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be transformed, so that we could be redeemed. My friends, God's grace is available to all of us. Christmas isn't about presents. It's about Jesus redeeming us, transforming us, allowing God's grace to wash over us. And we must simply proclaim in our hearts that Jesus is our Savior and believe it in the depths of our soul. Regardless of what we've done, regardless of where we've been, regardless of how we've lived our lives, Jesus can and will redeem us all. I'd like to rephrase Tiny Tim's saying from God bless us, everyone, to God blesses us, everyone. I invite you to experience Christmas joy regardless of what you come in contact in, regardless of what's going on in your life. From this moment on, Christmas joy. Amen.